bless everyone. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. And let's just stand and let's sing that song, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." Amen.
And as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul.
Throw me down.
next coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, the same weekend of Brother Randy Burton's wedding there, we're going to be moving service to Saturday night at 6 o'clock. So it'll be instead of Sunday morning, or 6:30, I'm sorry. But amen. It's posted back there, so just if you see anybody else that's not here, just remind them, amen. We have one testimony here, praise the Lord. It says, when I was a senior in high school, I gave birth to a son, and because, this is from Sister Barb, I'm sorry, and because I didn't feel ready to be able to care for him the way I thought he deserved, I gave him up for adoption. I received a letter from him this past Thursday, and I called him yesterday, and we decided to meet and become part of each other's lives. I just want to thank God for the answered prayer, amen. So, amen, and give the Lord a round of applause for that, amen. 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 How many just have a need before the Lord today, amen, with an upraised hand? Just ask Brother Dustin if he'd come lead us in order of prayer, amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings. Amen. How many believe God still moves, amen? Amen.
Go ahead. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we just humbly come before you, God, Lord. We just thank you, God, for just bringing us here together, Lord Jesus, yeah. God, to worship in spirit and truth, Lord Jesus. God, we believe, Father God, that you do still move, Father God.
Amen.
That you're more than willing, Father God, to answer any need here this morning, Father God. Lord Jesus, God, you see the need upon every heart. Lord Jesus, God, we just ask that you just minister to it this morning, Father God. We also ask, Father God, that you just move us out of the way. Lord Jesus, God, be with these musicians, the song leader, Father God. Be with our pastor, Cam, Father God. Just bring the word of life this morning, Father God. We just love you, God. We just thank God for these testimonies, Lord Jesus, God. No doubt, Father God, we all have testimonies, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for being just established in grace this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just love you, God. We just ask you just to bless the service, Father God, and sanctify our bodies, Lord Jesus. And Father God, let this be a service, Father God, that we'll never forget, Lord Jesus. We just love you, God. We just praise your holy name. Oh, we also ask that you just bless the tithes and the offerings, Father God, furthering of your kingdom, Lord. We ask all this in the precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
And let's just sing that song, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. How many just love to sing praises unto God? Amen. Every time you think about him, it just makes you want to sing more about him. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in. Hey!
applause, saints. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy today, Lord.
Amen.
Would you sing a song? It's manifesting time. Amen. The fruits are on the vine, saints.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping over the mountain, over the hills he runs. Oh, I long to hear his voice, I long to hear him say, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Oh, yes, it's manifesting time, the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in late.
Send the power just now. Amen. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song. Amen.
They were in an upper chamber. They were all in one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended and was promised by our Lord. Oh,
kids come expecting. Amen. We had a wonderful service Wednesday night. God really blessed so much in my life. Amen. So many things there. Amen. But let's just sing that song, Take Me Into the Holiest of Holies. Amen. We're going before our King, but that's where we want to enter, where the Holy Ghost is. Amen. We want Him to speak to us this morning. Amen.
Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the
yeah.
Cheer the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Oh, and take me in to the holy. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy.
House of God this morning. Amen. Good to see those that were able to press out to the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to maybe sing a song real quick by the grace of God. Let's sing that song, I'm So Happy.
Amen.
Amen. My little boy, he's just a little joy of mine, but he always comes up even when we spend a lot of time here this last couple of days even working in the house of God. And I look over at my son, and he's got a tambourine or a mic, and he's just singing, I'm so happy. At home, he's got his little tambourine, comes up to Daddy, says, Daddy, I'm so happy. So I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm happy too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you happy to be a Christian this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm So Happy.
Well, I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy, 'cause Jesus is a friend of mine. Well, I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy.
because Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, is he yours? Yes, he's mine. Oh, is he yours? Oh, I've got joy in my heart. I've got peace in my mind. I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy. Because Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy, 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 happy.
Amen. Amen. Feel a little happier? Praise God. Why? Jesus is your friend. Amen. Man, let's just get out our Bibles this morning. We'll move into this little thought this morning. I become amazed at how many directions you can take the Word of God, and even working with kind of the same passages, and you can find that God, there's so many revelations, even within just one passage. It's just amazing how God, He'll speak, amen? He has a way to speak to His bride. How many of you love the Word of God this morning, amen? You love that Word? Amen. Can I hear it a little bit louder?
Amen.
How about one more time?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. That man loves the Word, amen? And it's good to see you. Sister Ashley and the young sisters have taken Brother Simon and Sister Beth's spot in the amen corner up there, amen? You can see Brother Freddie up there as well. Amen. Let's just move in our Bibles to a few portions of Scripture. I'd like to go to Habakkuk 2 this morning, 1. And then after that, we're going to go to John 3, 26. Got a little thought this morning, and I pray that the Lord will add His emphasis to it. We've kind of worked with these thoughts just a little bit, but as the Lord was kind of opening this up to me this morning, it just really, really encouraged me and gave me just a lot of strength to just to see His Word so parallel and so tie in with itself. It's just an amazing book that we have, amen? So I pray that you're in expectation to hear from God, amen? Because God will speak to you if you want Him to speak to you, right? So if you want God to speak to you this morning, just lend God your ear, lend Him your heart, lend Him your expectation, and may you receive this morning from the Word, amen? Now this morning we're working with a little bit of a thought, a little bit different as far as we'll be working along the same ends, but yet we want to, so to say, just let God have His way. Amen? So in Habakkuk 2 verse 1 it says here, "And I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what He will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." When He's rebuked. And the second verse, it says, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it." Amen. So He says, here it is. I'm going to write it down. The person that can read this, you can run. It's that plain. Amen. Praise God. Now notice this in the third verse. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." The vision of what is written down, it has an appointed time. But notice this, it says, "But at the end it shall speak." So this vision can speak. and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Praise God. I completely lose everybody there. I'm starting to get excited about that because I know where I'm going. So, let's go to John 3:26. We had a title for this morning's sermon while you're moving there. It's "At the End It Shall Speak." Amen? At the end it shall speak. And I'll tell you our topic after we pray. John 3:26, it says here, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Now, notice this right here, 30th verse. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we love you this morning, God. We want to be in the atmosphere, God, that the Word can speak plainly to us, God. Because, God, we need this expectation that you are God, Lord. You're going to do something great, God. You're going to be here, God. But, Lord, I pray you'd move us in the line that, Lord, the vision would speak, God. That, Lord, it would not tarry, God, but, Lord, you'd have your way, Lord Jesus, and move us into condition, place us where you'd have us. And, God, we ask this morning, God, that, Lord, if we're not right in our hearts, God, we pray you'd forgive us, God, and move us into condition that the Word might have preeminence, God. Lord, how we want to work with this thought just a little bit this morning, God. And Lord, I pray you'd say it the way you'd like to say it, God. If this is, oh God, a different direction you have in your mind, Lord, go ahead and take us there. But God, I pray, Lord, while we're here, may we enjoy the God of gods, the living Savior, the one that chose us, the one that died for us, the one God who made it plain in this book, God. Reveal your Word to us, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, that you'd certainly, Lord, bring us a notch higher this evening, we pray, or this morning, we pray, God. Help us, God, our iniquities, God. Forgive us, God. Lord, our desires, Lord, that fall so much short, Lord Jesus, of what they're supposed to be, God. Lord, cleanse us from our filthiness, God. And Lord, let us rise fresh in the light of God, we pray today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. Rehearsing this thought once again this morning, we'd like to entitle it, "At the End It Shall Speak." And if we had a topic of interest this morning, I pray that this will touch every one of you. But we'd like to give it the subtopic of "The Challenge of Decreasing." Amen? And by the grace of God, this will be something for you if you can just watch the Word tie in and just watch it really just come together for you. We want to work this morning a little bit with John the Baptist. And once again, we've kind of laid a little bit of this foundation down before, but this will be in a little bit different of a direction. I pray we'll see if I can just get myself out of the way. Just enough to let God say what He would like to say to you. Amen. But yet, within all of this thought, where are we at as far as God, when we look at ourselves this morning, when you woke up and when you found out that God gave you breath for another day, when you found out that God would allow you to come to a service yet once more, where are you finding yourself with God? Are you finding yourself satisfied? Are you finding yourself to a place that that you know that you need to decrease. There has to be more God shine out of you. Amen. And when you can look and you can say, God, Lord, there is more decreasing that I have to do. You can find yourself actually just falling right into the context of what the Word was written to do. The Word was actually written to allow you to see that too much of you would never be good for God. But God would actually require less of you all the time. Amen. That so much so that He would have to get you to the place that it would perform as God alone, just using a vessel that would be yielded to Him. Amen. Now, you may find this morning that this may come a little bit different. We have a lot of scripture to move through. But yet, we want to show you that it was God's purpose and design that you would, of course, have to wait for this. That you would have to hold on. That you would have to be steadfast. And the purpose of all this would be that God would have to find you being nothing and Him everything, right? So this morning we want to start out and start to work with John the Baptist. We know that John the Baptist, he was a great prophet of God. He was actually so great a prophet of God that God would make him the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah, amen? He would actually forerun the Word coming, amen? And why this is so ironic, because once again, we're moving with the fact that now God has sent another forerunner to make right the people for the Word coming, amen? And this is what we want to see, because remember, you are the bride coming of Christ this morning. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You are to be Jesus made known.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shake ourselves up a little bit. Amen. Get weathered up a little bit and start just pressing into the Word. Amen.
Amen.
But I want to just show you a few things that we find, because I want you to see that John, he knew who he was.
Amen.
And we understand that John, he went into the wilderness at the age of 9, and yet he would come out at the age of 30, and he would come out with a vindicated message. He would be ready to preach, ready to make known that something was just getting ready to happen, right?
Amen.
Yet we know the Scripture said that John did no miracles.
Come on. Amen.
It would seem like there's nothing special about John at all. Outside of the confidence that this man had in God, had in God's message, and knew that it was the Word to be made known in its season. Not Jesus Christ just, but that He was a portion of that Word to what? To bring the people to repentance so they were ready for the Word to be made manifest. Amen. So now let's jump in our Bibles if we could. I'd like to go to Luke 3:15 if we could. Now, I want us to just look and show you John the Baptist and the confidence that he had and knowing why he was there, okay? Now, we're going to take this to a place where John would eventually forget who he was. And it's all fulfilled in even his revelation, but he was not expecting it to be as hard as it was, okay? Now notice this in Luke 3:15, it says, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." So now, what? We see John the Baptist here, and the people noticed there was something special about him. Insomuch, of course, they mused that this might be the Messiah, right?
Amen.
Now, notice this. They mused. They are being amused by this.
Right.
They are talking about it. They were thinking about this.
Amen.
This was something that was working in their life, okay? Amen. Now, notice here in the 16th verse, it says, "John answered, saying unto all of them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire."
Amen.
So John, watching all these people excited about this.
Amen.
You know, this is the word coming. Amen.
Amen.
So the people were pretty amused by this. The people were pretty excited about this word.
Come on. Amen.
Isn't that amazing? God has already allowed a second forerunner to the word. And the amazing thing of it is that we find ourselves being less excited than the forerunner.
Come on, brother.
But yet, we are the Word to be made manifest.
Amen.
Oh, Lord,
come on.
Jesus.
Amen.
We look at our, but like I said, there's a purpose why I'm saying all this.
Amen.
And you'll find out that it will prove thoroughly. But notice here he says, 17 verse. Now notice John. He has an expectation too. He says, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one that's coming, he's going to baptize you with fire. Now notice he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So notice, here John is. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
But yet we find that he understood that it wasn't he the Christ.
Amen.
But it was Christ, the Word, was going to follow his message, okay?
Amen.
Now notice what his expectation of this. He expects this Christ to what? Have a fan in his hand.
Amen.
Now what are we talking about? We talking about a fan? Well, you have to understand what the fan is. According to the historians, they say the Jews had fans in their hands which were like a man's hands. It says there were three sorts of instruments used in the threshing floor in form of a man's hand with which they cleansed the wheat and barley from the straw. So a fan was actually like a rake. But it was kind of like a man's hand. And we find here that John, he expects Christ to come with a fan in his hand.
Amen. Yeah.
Or something to what? To separate. Oh, look at how quiet you are today.
Good,
do you need the Word to wake you up?
Come on.
God, let the Word wake us up. Let's have a little expectation in the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen. So notice this, it says, and their names differ according to their form. Some have many teeth, and with them they cleanse the wheat at the end of the work. Okay?
Amen.
So okay, the wheat and barley's harvested, it's brought in, but when it's time to fully separate the wheat and the barley seed from the straw or the shaft of which it cometh from, that they use the fan. So there comes in a place where they're breaking and beating at it.
Amen.
To allow the seed to separate from the stalk itself. Okay?
Amen.
So here he is with the full expectation that the one that would come after him would be this great, fearsome man.
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Coming with a vengeance. Got some strength behind him.
Amen.
Don't worry. This is the Messiah. This is God. And God will straighten this all up.
Amen.
Now, we've kind of went through this a little bit previously. But we're going to take this in a direction today. And it says in finishing this, it says, and there are others which have few teeth, no more than three, And with these they purged the wheat at first from the thick straw. Okay? So I'm still working with the fan a little bit, but I want you to know it's basically just like a rake. There's three different types. Amen. We find out when you're digging up a stump from the ground. When you're dealing with that type of a fan, it's a lot of work that you have to do with it. Amen?
Amen, that's right.
Next day you might be a little bit tired. Because there's a lot of work that ensues that type of a labor, right?
Amen, that's right.
And you're God that's sent a forerunner to get them ready so that this Christ could come out and He could lay what? He could separate things. Really put the wheat where they need to be and put the tares where they need to be and just set everything right where it needs to be. Now, remember why I'm saying all this. I preached the way of preparation, but yet when we look at this, I want you to see what John is thinking.
Come on, brother.
Even in John's expectations, he expects a Messiah. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees expect a Messiah. All right? Now notice this, of course, this will play in the key. But notice it said he exhorted the people with many thoughts, many things. But then we find out he reproved Herod about Herodias and so forth and says it's not lawful for you to take her and so forth. But we find out that at the end, here he finds himself incarcerated.
Amen.
Put in jail.
Right,
now notice that it says in the scripture in the 20th verse, Luke 3:20, says, added yet this above all. This was added on top of all the things that John had to do.
Amen.
He had to sit in prison. Oh, what a wonderful work it was to introduce the Messiah. But added yet above all. Now, notice what this is doing. This is actually taking it into a place that it's personalizing John.
Amen.
Of all the things that he did to bring forth God to the people, yet this was above all.
Right.
What? He would lay down the word right in front of their face.
Amen.
Even to the kings of that time.
Right.
And in doing all that, he got thrown into jail.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Suffering for the gospel's sake.
Yes, sir. Amen. Right.
Now remember, I'm saying all this for a reason. Okay? So now, you see where we're starting to move. I hope you can stay awake today. You seem very quiet, O tired bride. So notice here, I want to go back, if we could, into John 3. If we'd like to move very quickly here. And if we get to John 3, we opened up with this scripture. The 27th verse, let's start there. It said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given from him from heaven. Amen. So notice, he says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So now he's making it plain to the people. I'm not him, but I am one who comes before him.
Amen.
You said that yourselves. But notice here, he continues. He says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled.
Amen.
So why is his joy fulfilled? And where? In the fact that he is a friend to the bridegroom.
Amen.
This is his satisfaction.
Amen.
Now notice what he ends up saying here. We find in our most precious portion in the 30th verse, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So he's already prophesying, saying, I'm here. Okay, a work has been done, a six-month work. But all this, the joy of all of this, is that the bridegroom would be joined to the bride.
Amen. Amen.
This is his joy. But notice he prophesies and says, he must increase. And I must decrease.
Amen.
So what is he doing? The Spirit of God upon him. And he finds out that here he says, okay, I've got to decrease. Now notice at this point in time, he didn't go into jail yet. He wasn't worried about that yet. He was still in the highlight of his ministry. But maybe in his mind, he expected this Messiah to come and just take over and really just let that fan just really sweep off and just destroy and put everything right where it needs to be, and he'd just be right behind him. Right with the gang. You know, we think a lot like that most times. How that, okay, God, I've got to decrease. Here I found the message. Here I found the word of this hour. And yet, we look at what's going on around us. And we become so confused because we say that, okay, I must decrease and Christ must increase. But when we don't see the Christ, the way we think that Christ must be, we become what? We become dismayed.
Amen.
Well, wait a minute, brother. I thought the rapture was just about ready to happen. Just wait a minute. I'm forerunning Christ.
Come on. Amen.
Right? But you don't understand what forerunning is. Forerunning is the hard part. Forerunning is what? Remember, we preached just a little bit about this before, and like I said, I am bridging this different. But forerunning is the challenge to the whole ministry. Now remember, although you are to be the Word made manifest, your position within the Word is to first... what? Make way.
Amen.
So the Word can make itself known.
Amen.
Where? In you.
Amen.
But first, you must find yourself in a position that you have what? Prepared the way adequately so that the Word Himself could come forth in you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now that's where the problem lies. Because we want God, oh God, just do a little upper room experience. Oh God, just Lord, make it quick and painless. But this is not a quick and painless mission. You are once again trying to allow the full Word, Jesus Christ Himself, to shine forth from you. If you shine forth anything less than that, your mission has failed. If you shine forth the supernatural manifestation of Azusa Street, of the upper room, of Jesus' day, and if you cannot put forth the character, you have fallen short of the Word coming of Christ. Don't miss that. What's this about right now? Let's see if you're interested in the Word.
Right.
Let's see if you're going to cry out for the Word.
Amen.
Let's see if you will allow yourself to be taken away so that the Word might be made known. This is good, church, I'm telling you. Because it has to come to a place that you are decreased. There would never be a problem in the church if everyone was decreased. If everyone was following the mission and allowing the Holy Ghost to speak, there would never be a fight in here. There would never be a contempt or a malice or an envy or strife. What? It would be nothing but the Word speaking. Oh, not to mention, if you were in line with a Word like that, the supernatural would be. Well, where's the issue? Here's the issue. Oh, brother, again. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Good.
Because when I went like that, I'm saying, here's the issue.
Amen. Right, brother. Yes, sir.
Because remember, this is a body ministration. It doesn't matter if Brother Cam preaches all over the United States and has some big message name. That has nothing to do with it. That's like we say, that's politics.
Amen.
Right? I'm not interested in being a politician.
Right.
I'm interested in allowing the Word to shine forth.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, brother, if you were just a big preacher like these brothers, if you were just doing that or that, well, what would that do?
Come on.
Will I get a greater reward for fighting for some sort of a political display amongst all these people? If I establish myself as a great message minister, will you then accept me? Right?
Come on, brother.
Well, I should be gone from this church at least once a month to establish, to show my prowess amongst the message. No, that's a denominational spirit.
Amen. That's right, brother. Come on.
If God gave me the gift of a pastor, I should be at home more than not.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, brother.
Right? Because you're my sheep.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I'm sitting here making sure you're getting fed with the right manna.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Good.
I got a couple legs to break.
Amen.
But what? The shepherd and the sheep must be in one accord. But the thing is, I must lose my shepherd ability.
That's right.
Any man-made shepherd ability I have has to leave.
That's right, brother.
So that nothing but the genuine shepherd shines forth.
Yeah.
And you have to lose your shepherd ability.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't even have one anyway. Because you're not a shepherd.
That's right.
Right? You're a shepherd of your home. But when it comes to the foundation of God,
amen,
you're a sheep.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Which I have to come to a place that I am just a sheep.
Amen.
And the great shepherd would make himself known here.
Amen. Right,
I get the Christian book distributors. I'll tell you what, you buy one thing from them, then you're going to get stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? If you ever buy anything from them, they'll just haunt you to death. Right?
Amen.
But you know what? You start looking at that stuff. They have books about how to be the right leader.
Yeah.
They have books, and you read it, and it sounds really great. It says you read this book, and you'll find yourself in a greater position of discipleship and able to make those around you better disciples as well. And I read that, and I say, oh, Lord, that sounds really good. I could be a better disciple for Christ. And if I read this, you could be become better disciples too. I said, oh, this book could change my life. And it's only $5.99. 60% off. And we look at something like that and oh, how glorious it sounds. But is there a method that would justify anything moving outside of the natural way intended? Jesus didn't say, read the books.
Yeah,
He didn't let the revelation fall on John the Baptist that you have to write a book. But in John, being the complete disciple, what the revelation fell on him, that I must decrease and Christ must increase. So the greatest portion of him following God above all, we find himself having to go through the position to see if his religion would stand. What are you dealing with right now? You're showing if your religion will stay.
Amen.
We see John back here. John found out, oh, yep, I'm that prophet. Oh, yep, I'm preparing that way. Oh, yes, the one that comes after me.
Yeah.
Yep, the one that's going to follow me.
Amen.
Is the Messiah himself. But when push come to shove, to show whether he was in the Word or not, we find the challenge of decreasing coming his way. I got a point and a purpose. Let's continue on. If we could, let's go to Luke 7:16. You love God? Are you decreasing? Oh God, let me decrease. Oh God, this is why I'm here, to decrease. Do you understand the whole purpose why this rapture has not happened is because you have not decreased enough? Well, are you the bride coming of Christ or not? Well, what's the problem? The coming of Christ isn't in the bride yet. What does that mean? That the bride has to get the coming of Christ. The bride has to what? Has to be in position to allow the Word to come forth. So notice here, above all, we find John thrown into prison now. Let's see in Luke 7:16. And it says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region and round about. And his disciples of John shewed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Now remember, the Word had been there. What are you saying? This message has been sowed. Now you find the purpose of the Word is, can you stick with the Word? And now we find John the Baptist in prison, and we find that here he is questioning the Word. We find out in this message, why is this important? Because you find even in this message, there's a falling away. They're questioning the Word when the Word is right there. But because they have found themselves in this type of scenario, now they've come to question. I ain't just talking about people that are falling on this message. I'm talking about ourselves. Because you're looking at this Word and saying, is this Word right? Well, wait a minute. The forerunning has been done by the messenger. And now all you have to do is give the Word preeminence. But I'm putting ourselves in the shoes of John the Baptist today. So notice here, it says in the 20th verse, it says, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John, in the midst of prison, looks and says, okay, the one I made known, amen, the one I foreran, is this really him?
Amen.
I've seen the dove. I know that was God. But is this really the Word? Well, you say, well, yeah, that's why it's so hard for us. He was the actual forerunner. A man born among women, there was none greater up till that time. We understand the Holy Ghost made that different. But yet, here we find he reveals this Word. And then he says, is this the Word? All it took was the challenge of decreasing. And it made him question everything about that Word. Come on. So notice here it says in the 21st verse, it says, and in that same hour, the 21st verse. Now notice this. John's disciples come and they question, are you that Messiah? Now notice what God does here, Jesus Christ. In the 21st verse, it says, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight.
Amen.
So all it took was the seed of God to cry out and say, God, if it's you, I need something to prove that this is you.
Amen.
And look what God does. Jesus looks at John, doesn't say, oh, he's backslid.
Right.
He's failed. He's lost his commission. He's nothing. But Jesus looks at a prophet who God is eagle eyes filmed over.
Amen.
Couldn't see right. And he says, let me send another fresh word to him. Let's show him what this Word really is. Well, what did it take? It took John questioning the Word. Now notice this, 22nd verse. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he. Now notice, this is where it comes at John. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Because what? John was questioning the plan of the Word. Even John. Now notice, the Pharisees questioned the validity of Christ being Messiah. But now we find John the Baptist, when he got in a stage that he was in prison, he was also questioning the validity of the Messiah.
Amen. Yeah. Right, brother.
So Christ says, oh, by the way, John, blessed is he who's not offended in me.
Amen. Good.
What does that mean? Who will become offended by this Word?
Come on, brother.
Now, why is this a greater challenge in this day?
Amen.
Because now we don't have Jesus in flesh here to point to. Now it's a body move.
Amen.
And you're looking at people who say they believe the vindicated Word. You're saying, is that the coming of Christ?
Amen.
Is that the revealed Word? Amen. Or should we look for another?
Hallelujah.
Well, what's the problem with that? What you can look at your brother and they can look right back at you and say, is that the Word?
Come on.
Or should I look for another?
Good, brother.
You see that? You could get so caught up in the failures of your brothers and sisters that you couldn't even see the word expressed.
Amen. Come on now. That's good.
Come on.
Amen.
So notice what John does. John throws the greatest disregard for Jesus that he could possibly throw at him. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, it wasn't so from the beginning, brother, 62. I'll move down to the end of E21, brother, if you could. Says, but when he got down in trouble and his eagle eye got filmed over, as Pember said, he didn't see so well. He thought, here I preach the Messiah was going to free the people. And here, a little gentle fellow pushed around from here and there, a strange Messiah.
Come on, good.
A strange Messiah.
Amen.
He didn't understand it.
Come on.
He was just a strange Messiah. Messiah. It was the word being made manifest. He said, that's a strange word. This coming of Christ, I don't get it. He don't make sense. Look at how they act. Now notice, E22 says, but what he couldn't understand, there was the sign over him, but yet he was so much different. He wasn't that great guy was going out and tearing up everything like he thought he would. He was a little gentle, meek sort of fellow, pushed around from here to there. You know what a strange fellow this guy is. Now back to your Bibles in Luke 7:24. Notice what Jesus says here. 7:24 says, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's court. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messengers before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So John pays the greatest disregard to the Messiah that you could possibly lay.
Yeah.
The same thing the Pharisees said. He said.
Amen. Yeah.
The same question. The same frustration. If this is the Messiah, why is he acting like this? Finishing up our quotation in E22, brother. It says, so he sent two of his disciples, go ask him, is he the one? Now, that was the poorest compliment that he could have ever paid to Jesus. After he'd announced that that was the Messiah, and then come back and say, is that him? But Jesus understands our weaknesses. He turned around and paid the greatest compliment that he could ever pay to any man, to John. Watch him. When John come out, when John sent his disciples, comes and said, are ye he, or should we look for another? Now notice here, the word cannot change its attitude against the seed. No matter what you do against God, if you're a son or daughter of God, you cannot get away from the blessing of God. Well, notice it was God's word that said, God said to Abraham, blessed is he who blessed you. Cursed is he that cursed you. Why? When Balaam cried out and wanted to curse Israel, he said, how can I curse what God has blessed? Then how can God curse himself? He cannot curse himself. He is the Word. And what? You are come from the Word to go back to the Word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So even when the Word gets a little out of line, God is still looking right at you. And looking at the blessing,
amen,
not at the curse.
Yeah.
Jesus could have looked at John and said, oh, he's a failure, I know. But Jesus looks at him and says, yep, that one that just questioned who I am, he's the greatest born among women.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Well, God can't do anything different from John than what he does for you. You cannot get away from the blessings of this Word. If it says you're blessed, God can't look at you and say you're a great sinner. He can't say you've fallen from grace. He can't say that you're going to go to hell. Why? Because you're part of the Word. So what? God looked at him and he seen the circumstance that he was in. God predestinated that circumstance. God predestinated that confusion about who the Word was. So it come to the place that the Word had to give proof to the Baptist of who he was. Remember, we have no place where we find that John the Baptist seen Christ doing the miracles. He never seen Christ do the miracles that we find. So he began to question the Word. So God, when he showed himself to John the Baptist, he said, oh, yep, everything's right on time. Here John's disciples are coming right now. He said, I'm going to take care of my little eaglet. He starts praying and then, hallelujah. And he didn't have to say the name of Jesus Christ because he was that Word. He said, rise up!
Amen.
Lazarus, come forth!
Yeah. Come on.
He grabbed the lame by the hand and pulled him up!
Amen.
He demonstrated the full sign of the Messiah so that they could go back. Now notice, John still had to believe the Word.
Amen.
His justification, it had to come by faith. Because he wasn't going to get out of prison and watch Jesus do his thing.
Right. Come on,
so all he had to go on was the Word.
Amen. Come on.
Which is kind of where you're at,
yes,
right now. Don't worry. You're going on the account of the Word.
Amen.
But don't worry. You're not called for John the Baptist showdown. Your call for a Mount Zion showdown.
Yes, sir.
Your showdown is different, but the same challenge of decreasing has to come your way. But I tell you, church, keep on holding on, because the Word will come and take care of you in its vindicated season.
Amen. Yes,
Jesus Christ didn't go to John the Baptist when he first went in jail. He let John get all the way to the place that he questioned his very existence being the Word.
Amen.
He let it go that far, where he'd been in a trial that long.
Amen.
He had been in distress that long.
Amen.
God waited till John got to his lowest point, where John was even questioning him. And then God sent and brought forth the promised Word sign to his humble servant. Well, what do you... Don't you see, church? Here we are. We know what the Word says. We believe on how it's supposed to come. But yet, we don't get into a place that we allow the revelation of that Word to keep us. You know what that's saying? John the Baptist believed that Jesus Christ would have a fan in his hand. Believed that he would separate the wheat and the chaff. He would do all these things. But when the strange fellow, the strange Messiah, come in a way he didn't expect it to, he got confused. Oh, well, that's how it works. We get in a church, say, oh, this is what message people do. We get in a church, say, oh, this brother's so anointed. Then after all, yeah, I don't really think I like him so much. He's got these problems, that problem, that, blah, 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 blah.
Come on, brother.
And we find a fault with the Word. Oh, yeah, the Word's, yeah, amen, amen, the Word. But look at him.
Come on,
it's not coming forth like I thought it would come forth.
Yeah.
You look at one another and say, why is there only this many people? Yeah. Look at all the empty seats.
Yeah.
Well, you're expecting what? The promise to fulfill in a different way than the predestinated method.
Amen.
Say, well, if Brother Cam had God in him, these pews would be packed. Oh, yeah? Certainly Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, only had one brother there with him right there. John the Revelator at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
This ministry is not made to catch serpent seed.
Amen.
This ministry cannot convert serpent seed. Your ministry cannot convert serpent seed. I ain't just preaching about myself, I'm preaching about you.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
So, this place should be packed. Yes, it should be. What's the problem? The problem is we want people to come to a church, but they have to see the Word. Remember, this calling is different. It's not different in the fact that it's the Word that must express, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why this is different. Because you are so close to the coming of the Lord, it must come to the place that the Word has to be expressed.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, brother.
We look and say, well, why aren't they coming? Why aren't they catching it? And you can't see that God chose you to what? To manifest the Word so it would catch them. We get mad at God, say, God, why? Or it's this brother, that sister, that. But the whole time, God wants to manifest His Word in you.
Yeah.
It's your ministry. It's your Messiah coming.
Right.
Not just looking at using a minister.
Right.
He's looking at using a body.
Right. Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He's got to see a body move. It doesn't matter if the preacher has a revelation of that Word.
Yeah.
If the people don't have a revelation and don't move on it.
Right.
And the preacher don't move on it.
Yeah.
Or the preacher does and the congregation does. And the congregation does and the preacher goes.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Unless all of them get in the condition for the move.
Amen.
Because remember, this Christ is coming in body form. You're made to move together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what I love about it. We're all struggling on a Friday night. 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we're still here working away. But Ty's up there still trying to figure out how to drill that screw into that metal. Looks pretty good, brother. But you see, we're pressing.
Amen.
Everyone must press into this kingdom. If you're a son of God, sure. As much as believing in Him, He gave power to be the sons of
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah. Good, brother.
But God, amen. Oh, the struggle of the fight. Here I'm looking. Oh, The church is coming together. Where are the people? Oh, shouldn't there be something, God, to show that this is actually right? And we get these thoughts in our head, and you can't see that it ain't nothing but the devil fighting you.
Come on, brother. That's it.
Let's go. Let's go a little bit farther. Okay? Let's go in the message, brother, to the forgotten beatitude. E37, if we could. No, let's go to E30. E30, got a little reading to do here. I want you to catch all this. This is powerful. E30, it says, but when when trouble set in, Jesus come and showed the Messiah that he was Messiah. But then something went wrong. John had introduced the Messiah with a fan in his hand going to burn up the shaft. But he found out the works of Jesus. He was meek and lowly.
Amen.
So it wearied him.
Amen.
What wearied him? What wearied John the Baptist was that Christ didn't come out with a big chest. Didn't come out performing and showing who he was. Look at me, I'm the Messiah. But he come out speaking in parables. And crossing a sea just to heal one man named Legion.
Right.
Oh, that strange Messiah. Oh, it wearied John. He was looking at the ministry and saying, I don't get why this is like this.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Well, I like it. I don't care if you do or not. It says he didn't know. He didn't know what to say. He thought, now there's something wrong here somewhere. Seemed he had believed the wrong thing. It seemed like it wasn't working right.
Come on, brother. Amen.
And there's many times that we think too that it isn't working right, but it's working right. As long as we know that he's here,
amen.
What difference does it make? It's working right. Maybe it ain't working it according to the way we think it ought to work, but it's working according to the way God wants it to work.
Amen.
John had his eyes filmed over because it wasn't working the way his preconceived idea said it was. So he said, is this the Messiah? And the whole time, he's decreasing.
Amen.
I was that prophet. John's saying here, should we look for another?
Amen.
Now notice this. E31, I'm going to move halfway down. There's no doubt, but something's wrong somewhere, John the Baptist is saying. He thought it wasn't right. He become dismayed like many of us do. When we see things going on, that it isn't what we think is just right. So how many of us would be willing to say, I have a thought in my head, what I think is just right? You know it's the truth. Every hand should go up there. Now notice this. He says, don't be weary. It will be all right. The devil got a hold of him in there. So what happened? The devil got a hold of him. Your prophet said another place. He said John had no access to the Bible in there. So he wasn't reading his Bible very much. So the devil got a hold of him. Now let's continue. Says the devil thought, now I've got him in jail now. I've thrown him in jail, so I'll rough him up right good while I got him in there. God isn't using him right now. I've got him in jail. Now what we say? God isn't using me right now.
Come on, brother.
You have your thought. He says, I've got him in jail, so I'll just put every kind of blanket over him I can. I got him all caged up. So I'll just make him wish he had never preached the gospel. That's the way he does a many, E32. And there's a many, a good man in that same shape today. That's exactly right. We think it ain't working right, but it is working right. Everything's all right. He said, here the other day, I see so many people that come in and say, well, Brother Branham, I prayed for. I really didn't get any different. Well, there's something wrong. No, there's not. There's something wrong with the system. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. The thing of it is something wrong with you. Ouch! But it's something wrong with them! You know what I love about the Holy Ghost I got? That anytime I point any finger at anyone about anything, the Holy Ghost comes right to me. And I feel more convicted because I start pointing at myself. What about me? Look at me. Look at this. Look at that. Well, what are you talking about? That's the way it should be. Because the problem isn't with everybody else. The problem's with you. Right? Do you realize that if you got the atmosphere and the expectation in your life, you got the divine love in your life, that you could come in here with a church just like this? Well, I know we got love here. I know God's doing something here. I know there's a move coming. Good start today.
Amen.
If you want it. But if you brought one person in here with that kind of a revival, what would it do? Everybody else would look at that. Some would look with scorn. Some would look with jealousy. Some would look and actually get motivated by it.
Amen.
And before you know it, it'd begin to what? To work like a fan. And it'd start separating wheat from chaff. It'd start breaking off. Because you see, darkness and light can't dwell together. They have nothing in common. So when light shines forth, it makes light upon light upon light upon light. It's amazing that God always has to have one man revival, isn't it? That's what's so hard about this one. God's not setting up a one man revival. Because there's nothing that will take away from the glory of the Holy Ghost this round. This run is a Holy Ghost run. It's a run that it has to see as just as much God in Brother Freddie as Brother Steve. It's got to see just as much in Sister Betsy as Sister Amber. It's got to watch that kind of a God. And we look, we say it isn't working right. You're right. You're not letting it work right. And we have our own thoughts that we're injecting, we're putting in there. You don't think that's hard for me? It's got to be hard for me. I'm number one. Huh? When Johnny Law Dog comes, you know who they're after? And after you. They start with me. You know God looks? Why do you think the scripture says, woe unto the shepherds. Because the shepherds are responsible for all the sheep. Remember what Brother Bram said? He said, you don't know what kind of responsibility that this brings. He said, you're responsible for yourself, but I'm responsible for all of you. Hallelujah. We say, oh God, something's wrong. No, something's not wrong. The only thing that's wrong is we're not stepping up to what God wants us to do. Oh God, I'm so low. Well, thank God there's a God that if you question Him being right, He'll prove Himself.
Amen.
If you'll give Him the chance. John could have just let things go and just stayed right in prison and died in just that condition. But he didn't. He called to the word that he thought was vindicated and said, are you that word? The same thing Samson did. He cried out to the same word that anointed him and said, God, once more. He said, it ain't working right. My strength ain't here. My anointing's not here. My lucky prophet said, then he reached back and he felt some hair growing.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He cried out to the Word. Vindicate yourself.
Amen.
Show you're the Word.
Yes.
The Word didn't fail him.
Right.
God had to allow that prophet, John, to get to a place that he was decreased enough so he could show that word to that prophet. You think, you know why? The scripture never goes on to say anything about that. You know why? Because I think we all know what happened. It refreshed the eagle.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen. Right?
Yeah.
When Elijah, when his eagle eye got filmed over, after what God proved himself to him, he laid under a juniper tree wishing that he would die. So what'd God do? God sent meat to that prophet.
Amen. Yeah. Good.
And the meat gave the prophet strength to move for 40 days.
Amen.
You just preached against meat. You're right. But you have to understand the context of it. You're not moving away from Christ. You're moving into the meat of the Word.
Amen.
Not deep, fictitious, but you're actually getting into a Word that produces life.
Amen.
It's meat. You have to understand what it's there for. Meat isn't there to give you an intellectual stimulation. Oh, I got to hear something new. Have evangelists tell me every once in a while, every time I go to that church, I got to preach something new. Or they'll sit there and yawn at me the whole time. I've had brothers tell me that. I said, oh, they yawn all the time. But there's people that have that expectation. Okay, it's got to be something new. Why does it have to be something new?
Come on, brother.
Why can't what the Word wants for you be new? Are you trying to make the Word conform to what your desire is for the Word?
Come on, brother.
You don't think God's got it figured out what you need and when you need it?
Amen.
Whether you need to hear the same sermon over again?
Come on. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right, brother.
You think about all those people that traveled around with Brother Branham. F.F. Bosworth, all these people. And they hear Brother Branham preaching the same message 20 times.
Right,
people in the message don't talk like that, do they? And they're sitting there, they stuck with the campaign. They stuck with the Word.
Yeah.
They hold on to it. It's the same message over again.
Come on.
But look at the vindication that was coming from that message.
Amen.
The same vindication come from the same message.
Amen.
Amen.
Good,
why? Because God knows what you need. Oh, Brother Cam, you got to preach that. My wife said to me last night, she said, why don't you preach on that? I said, I already preached like that. I said, I already preached on that. And now I'm preaching this. I'm preaching against myself.
Amen.
Because I got to preach something different.
Come on.
You you're a pastor, you gotta preach something different. Why? Ouch. Lord Jesus. So now, let's move on a little bit. We're almost done. Just hold on. Let's try to decrease just a little bit more. Oh God. Is this the word, Lord? I'm dying, God. Is this the word? You don't think we all feel like we're dying?
Come on, brother.
I mean, really? Because we're dying for something. We're dying to live.
Amen. Amen.
But notice, John the Baptist didn't catch Jesus Christ because he came meek and lowly. Notice what God's transforming you into. God's not transforming me into a showboat. Should be transforming you into a showboat. A lot of times I say, why am I so rejected? Why does it seem like nobody likes me? You can't understand it. I'm speaking for myself. Say, nobody likes me, I'm just rejected. Oh. And hear the word come in a fashion that he wasn't boldly out there trying to make himself something.
Right.
He come, meek and lowly.
Yeah.
And you can't understand, God, why am I so rejected? Why am I like this? Well, if you're the bride coming of Christ, God has to make you meek and lowly too. So you have to be rejected. You have to feel that way. You have to have the expectation that everything here must leave before God can be God in you. Hallelujah. Almost done. Yep, still almost done. Still working with that line of thought. That might mean that I'm not almost done. But I'm working on that. Hebrews 10. This is where it comes down to you. Remember, you have to have the eagle anointing in this day. Remember, you have prophetic insight. To see what? Prophetic insight to see the Word. To be in communion with the Word. That's your insight. Let's continue. Hebrews 10:32. Says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. So notice, the scripture here is saying, okay, now Christian, you were once illuminated. Something showed you that this was the Word. I love this.
Amen.
I love this. But after that, after you are illuminated, not Illuminati, illuminated, you endure a great fight of affliction.
Amen.
What is this? We're watching the same thing John the Baptist went through. God illuminated him. Okay, you are the forerunner. God illuminated him. Yes, the dove. This is him. But then he couldn't hold back from being what he was. He preached against Herod. He preached against the religious. He preached against all of them. He endured a great fight of affliction. Notice 10:33. Partly whiles ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, you had to suffer after you were illuminated. Notice this, I love this. Whilst ye became companions of them that were so ye used. You were illuminated. Then you got in contact with people that were so used.
Amen.
You are actually made a gazing stock.
Amen.
People looked at you, said, yeah, they're part of that church. People in the message look at this church like that.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't say it. I look at people in this message, and I've heard so many times they say, oh, yeah. Look at that revival that happened up north. But you know what? Ain't nobody wanting nothing to do with anybody that's part of that revival. That stuck with that message.
Yeah.
They're still making videos about how great that revival was.
Amen.
But ain't nobody want nothing to do with you. The revival continues.
Come on. Amen.
Ooh. No, the revival continues.
Amen.
You are that revival.
Amen.
The revival becomes despised. The revival becomes gainsay. The revival, people look at it and they look down on it. And the whole time you say, oh, where'd my revival go? Where'd this revival go? You don't understand what God's purpose is.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah. You don't realize who you got in contact with. Because what was Paul? He says, you got a hold of people, companions of them that were so used. Now notice, he says they were so used. You say, oh, they were used of God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you better see what God said about that. Continuing 34th verse. Says, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods.
Amen.
Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You have what? You're companions with this? People rejected? People looked down upon? Oh, hallelujah. Not just you and me. It's part of this. Surprise. But nothing looks like it's happening. John, don't get your eyes filmed over. We're suffering. We're fighting. We look at the ministry in which we come from, struggling, fighting. Oh, it's rejected. I'm rejected. They're rejected. Everybody's rejected. Oh, it's a denomination. No. Continue. 35th verse. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Is this the word? What you don't understand is there's been many different forms of the word brought forth in this message. Many different forms. It's for everybody. But notice, cast not away your confidence in the word. Is this from God today?
Amen.
Yeah, I just don't know. If you don't know, you've lost your confidence in that word. But if you look at the word and say, yes, this is it.
Amen.
You're holding on to what Paul's talking about.
Amen.
Now this is good, I'm telling you. Now notice this. If you don't cast away your confidence, it has a great recompense of reward. Wait a minute. Now, I want to take you back to this because I'm moving away from Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. And I'm moving into Paul. And Paul's saying, okay, look at me and the sufferings I've been through. Look at the rejection I've went through. Look at what I've been trying to accomplish. And he said, don't lose your confidence in what God's done through me. He said, yeah. He said, wolves are going to come in the flock and try to destroy. Yep. Don't lose confidence in me. Now notice this. He says, and continuing, now, what is the point of all of this? For ye, 36th verse, have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That's all I preach. Hold on. Have patience. Because there's a promise coming.
Yes, sir.
Have patience. Hold on. It's coming.
Amen.
Don't yawn. Show your confidence in the Word.
Amen.
Because you're not showing your confidence in me. You're showing confidence in the messenger. The Word Himself.
Amen.
Right. I love this. 37 verse. Now notice this. He says, for ye have need of... I'm going backwards. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry.
Wow.
So he tells him, hold on.
Because
the one you're waiting on, he's going to come. Hold on.
Amen.
Wait.
Amen.
Have confidence.
Amen.
Your companions, I know this seems like a stink sometimes, but hold on. It's the Word. 38th verse. Now the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Come on, bud.
So notice, go forward with it. Hold on to it. Put faith in that. Become that revival. 39th verse, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So you draw back to perdition. You draw you move forward into the saving of your soul. Paul's saying, follow my ministry like that. Well, Brother Cale, how can you say that you're like Paul? Well, I'm a preacher just like Paul was. I have a message just like Paul does. I'm holding on for a work just like Paul was.
Amen.
I'm saying all this to personalize this. To show you that the Word, you have to have confidence in the Word. You look at me, oh, Brother Cam, he's a gazing stock. Nobody wants nothing to do with him. That's all right. You look at yourself, say, oh, nobody wants nothing to do with me either. Oh, no. Oh, Lord. Is this the Word? Is this it? Well, you don't understand. That was the parallel of the Word all the way through. Elijah, John the Baptist. We find that Paul worked in him. Jesus Christ. You find it constantly. Brother Branham, it worked there. It constantly was happening. There would always be a decreasing, so to seem. But it was all working for the Word to come forth in those people. I must decrease. In closing, Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Yes, I started there for a reason, to end there. Because I want you to see what Paul is doing. This is what I love about the Bible. Everything is so perfectly right in there. And when you always go back and look, you always find something that's so special. Because remember what Paul said. He said, you're not going to see what you expect to see. He said, the just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
You look at a ministry and you wouldn't see what you want to see or think what you thought would be right. You'd have to live by faith. But here, we find that it moves. Now, I'm not talking about myself. That was Paul was telling them that they would have to have a faith in his ministry. Just like even John the Baptist had to have a faith in Jesus' ministry. Do we believe the rapture is almost here?
Amen.
How are you going to get there? Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Come on.
You got to have faith. Got to have confidence. God's going to get me there.
Amen.
He's going to do it. I believe it.
Amen.
I don't feel it. I don't see it.
Amen.
But I believe it.
Come on.
So it would literally come down to the fact that you'd have to have faith in that word. Remember, faith works without sight. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. So I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. What I shall answer when I am reproved.
Mm-mm-mm.
Reprove me, Lord. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Wait a minute. What is this? This is the parallel to the scripture we just read. It says, make it plain that he that readeth it can run. Look. 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Hallelujah. And not lie, though it tarry. Wait! He's going to be reading this. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, now notice what this says. His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. John's soul, when it was uplifted in him, it was not right.
Amen.
The worst compliment, he gave it to the Savior. But God gave the greatest compliment back to him.
Amen.
Now notice this, it says, but the just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
Oh, church. You got to hold on. So this is all about, oh, so-and-so don't like me. Oh, those eagle eyes. What do you think John the Baptist was thinking in prison? You realize in Malachi 3, it says that he would set the captives free.
Right.
And here John the Baptist was in jail. Or it might, excuse me, it's Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captives free.
Amen.
And here he's saying, here he is.
Amen.
Set me free. And God says, I'll set him free. Tell him that the lame walk, the blind see.
Amen.
This is the Messiah.
Yeah.
But I'm still in jail. Oh. Jesus never looked at the natural. He looked at the spiritual. Because when John heard that message, he might have felt captive. But the word, come and set him free. I can fully decrease now.
Amen.
He's took it over. The whole purpose why I'm here is fulfilled.
Amen.
And you look at yourself today and say, oh God, I'm in prison. Oh, look at the word. Cry out to the word.
Amen.
Say, God, I want to see the Messiah. I want to see God. Is this he? Don't be confused, bride. Don't be confused. Look at you. Is he about done? Is he almost there? He said he was going to close. Is he almost done? But the word the whole time is talking to you. Have confidence in the word. The word will get you there. I know you're wearied. You've been going through this trial for however long you've been in this message. I know you want to see the bride's revival. Oh, just hold on. Just wait. Because the vision will speak.
Amen.
But it's coming down to the same line. The message will become more denominated. and the true will become more despised. I ain't casting everybody into hell. I'm just telling you, we have to believe that God can answer here, that God can bring it here, that God, He what? He can, what? If you cry to Him and say, God, is this the word? He'll answer you. Is this the season of the rapture or not? You know how many times I kick myself? I look at everything that's going on around us. And Laodicea has so gripped so many individuals that they have no, they don't even have a conviction that this is the end time. Wake up! This is it! How many of your rights have to get stripped? They just shut down that cake shop because they wouldn't make a cake for those homosexuals. San Antonio just passed a law, anti-discrimination, which they said will lead to Christian arrests. Because if you say one word against it, you're in jail. We look here and say, oh, yeah, end times, da, da, da. And you know what? The snare is moving itself around you. We don't find ourselves crying out. We don't find ourselves moved by these things. And we just sit here and let it just keep on. Oh, I got to get this. I got to buy that. I got to do this. And the snare is moving closer and closer to shut around you. We look and say, oh God. You know what I love about being a son of God? You can't get away from it. Amen. Every time I fail, I look back and something still cries out, God, I know there's a chance, God. I know you're going to do it, God. I'm not lost faith in this word. Amen. You brought me to this for a reason. God, I'm not in desperation, but I believe you put me in it, God. Amen. But I need you to move, God. Hallelujah. Remember, we preached about Smyrna and how when the persecution come upon the Christians, apostates were without number. They said, if you're a Christian, you're going to jail. And all of a sudden, nobody's a Christian. Why do you think the move is against evangelicals? They're not against Catholics. Because the Catholics don't believe this Bible anyway. The move is against evangelicals. So when the move is against you, what will you do? Right. Say, oh yeah, I believe this. If you can't live it right now, how are you going to live it then? You can't wait till then. You got to believe that something needs to happen now. You've got to look at your own eyes and say, God, is this the word? I need this word proved out to me. Oh, I believe there's an anointing. You can't live on that anointing. It has to come back to the word every time. Oh, is the word right? Oh, God. God, don't worry. I'll become a Christian when things get a little harder. I'll really start serving you then. Go ahead. You play that game. You pray that game. Hope somebody's praying for you. God will get you beforehand. Because you're lost if you want to play that game. This ain't a half Christian life that we sit here and say, okay, God, I'll watch TV, I'll do these things, and I'll fail, and da, da, da. If you want to live with that type of iniquity, you're setting yourself up to become foolish. We need to get serious with God. God help me. God help me. Let's stand. Why are you here? Why have you been in this prison? Why has such a temptation come into this message that everything wants you to test to see if it's real or not? Is this the Christ? Is it Him? Where's the Christ in your life? When are you going to want that Christ? When are you going to take God and an honest challenge and say, God, show me the Word. Show me the word. All John the Baptist needed was that word and the testimony. Hasn't God made enough testimony for you? Hasn't God brought forth enough word for you?
Yeah.
Yet we sit here in prison, caged, not free, not loving, not all that we need to be. We sit here, oh God, is it time? Oh God, just waiting. Snares are coming over you. Freedom's gone. We become so scared if the cop would stop us for a ticket. Become so scared we're falsely accused for something. We shell up in this little corner. The ones who aren't, they're the ones that are usually in jail about it. We shell up in this little corner. The only chance you have when it turns on you is that the Holy Ghost is there. Because He has to speak. You can't be like Peter and draw a sword. The Word has to speak. How many say this morning, this afternoon, God, I must decrease. This is why you have me in this prison. This is why I've had this confusion. I ain't talking about one person. I'm talking about all of us. This is why this has come. Because the Word must prove out. God, I need that desperation, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I need that move. Is this the Christ? Is this the Christ? You all know within your life, something saying, I know this is the Christ. Hallelujah. If it's your desire this morning to decrease, let's just say a prayer. Just ask God to fan this wheat away from all that flesh that's still fighting us and to bring forth Himself. Oh God, I must decrease, Lord. Hallelujah. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you today, God. And Lord, the urgency of the hour is upon us, God. Lord, we see that everything is moving against Christianity. Everything is moving against us. And God, we still see ourselves frolicking, looking, oh God, to move forward in this world, but not forward with you. God, let us leave the confines of this prison house, God. Let us leave, oh God, the complacency that comes in this jail cell called the flesh. God, move us to a place that we cry out once more, that we look for a move of the Spirit, God. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Grace us, God, with this life, God. Forgive us, God, for giving you compliments that are not fit for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, let us die to ourselves. Forgive us, O God, of the objects and the fascinations we have with the things of this world and the world itself, God. And pull us into the realm that the Word can move us into perfect faith and confidence in His Word. God, allow it to be so. Lord Jesus, have your own way, Lord. Let us not draw back, but let us pull closer in confidence to the saving of the flesh, to the saving of this being, God. We just pray, God, you'd help us now. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, Lord, for not paying you a good compliment when you look at us, all you can see is the Word. God, help us, Lord, now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for a move. We ask for you to show us the real Christ. Show us the Word, God. Show us who we are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you ever need to pray, I'd be happy to pray with you today. I'm just going to sing a little song. I know we're a little of a hard message. But I pray that you can bring yourself into the fashion of this Word. I know it's hard sometimes to look and see what you see around yourself. But there still is a God in Goshen. Darkness that can be felt, yes, sometimes, so many times we feel it around us. But God, you're still God. God, you're still real. Lord, you still love me. Let's sing that song. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. The just shall live by his faith. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. And though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I'll find. And Lord, I believe in you. Trust in you, and let this whole world, let them say what they may, oh, no one can take this joy.
round of applause, saints. Let's just sing that song, More of You, More of You. I've had it all, but what I need, Lord, is just more of You. Amen. More of You. More of You. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of You. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of You. Sing that again, more of You. More of You. Oh, more of You. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of You. Of things I've had my fill, yet I hunger still. Amen. We'll just sing that song, In Prisoner's Chains, I Bless Your Name, amen. Let's bless His name, saints. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding strife, oh, Paul and Silas, let's pray.
Bible.